Blog Talk Radio.
With the mostest, the devil, just kidding, it's Zen again. And that special little tune is brought to you by Sean B, who put that little ditty together for y'all. I like it, it's one of my faves. So, it's going to be a mix-up. It takes a long time to write episode, and then if something happens or goes wrong, I got to rewrite that episode. So I'm just going to fill it in after I'm done, and we'll put the tags in, because we know what we want to talk about. Gonna be a mashup. We need to catch up some things, and I need to bring about some light on some serious shit. So here we go. For those of you who asked the question, and I can tell you right now, I don't like that word, victim, motherfuckers. It's not my favorite word at all. I hate that word. But I too have had this happen to me, so I know what this like. So when you ask us why we don't come out about our sexual assaults, I'm about to read to you fucking why. If you get sexually assaulted or raped, why wouldn't you tell the police? Here's a thread of quotes by real judges, and some of them, if they're still on bench, I'm coming for you motherfuckers. Zen Writers out here changing lives, you guys. We've been busy, really busy. We've gotten 23 racists losing their jobs. We helped very serious things happen, and we're making changes. We're doing God's work here. So when I say I'm coming for you, I'm coming. It's true. I ain't lying. As the gentleman on the jury will understand, when a woman says no, she doesn't always mean it. Men can't turn their emotions on and off, just like a tap, like some women can. That's a quote by Judge Raymond Dean addressing the jury of a rape trial. And let me remind you, folks, your rape kits sit and not being tested after the hospital scrapes your insides and takes evidence, and it doesn't feel good. It does not feel nice at all. In fact, it's even more humiliating than the rape was. They don't test the fucking kits, and then they don't process them, and then nothing ever happens. So, next, I hope you'll be able to keep your well-paid job, and the couple of weeks you spend in prison will be treated by employers as part of your holidays. Judge Gabriel Hutton speaking to a guilty rapist. I'm sorry, what? You shouldn't be out with anybody. It seems on the evidence that this child has not suffered, the word child, as a result of these offenses. Judge Hutton, again, talking about an 8-year-old girl who had sexually been abused for a year by a convicted child molester. Sounds about white, right? Must be a Republican. A man who sexually assaulted a 9-year-old boy needed a chance to get over his problems, according to Judge Hutton, yet again. The man got 2 years probation, so he's probably out raping again. Children, by the way, he's letting rapists go. This was a rare sort of rape. It's not like someone being jumped on in the street. This is within the family and does not impinge on the public. Sir Kenneth Jupp, a judge who gave a man a 2-year suspended sentence for raping his ex-wife. Listen here, you fucks. It don't matter if you're dating or married. If she says no, no means no. And that means if you force any sort of sexual anything on that on her person, that's fucking rape. And that's spousal rape, and that's abuse. And that's domestic violence. That counts. You should take someone in consideration by wearing a contraceptive. Judge Arthur Meyerson praising a rapist for wearing a condom. Are you fucking kidding me? Good fucking job, America! Good fucking job. Good job. You like that applause button I got for you? Yeah. He gave the rapist an even lighter sentence of 3 years. If someone doesn't want to have sexual intercourse, and this is a fucking bullshit lie, I'll tell you that for one thing. You ever tried to keep your legs closed while someone's trying to force themselves on you? They will break your knees and your hips. If someone doesn't want to have sexual intercourse, the body shuts down. No, it doesn't. The body will not permit that to happen. No, it doesn't. Any ladies out here ever had a guy go in dry? The body will not permit that to happen unless a lot of damage is inflicted. Not really, no. No, it's an opening. Come on in, Matilda. The victim in this case, although she wasn't necessarily willing, she didn't put up a fight. And this was Judge Derek Johnson in 2008. Sounds about white. That was a kind of a poem, wasn't it? This is white supremacy at work. Clearly, a drunk can consent. No, no, you can't. This is Judge Greg Linehan in 2017, and if you're still on bench, any of you motherfuckers, then I will be checking. Saying that they can. They cannot, a drunk person cannot give you consent. If they're too drunk to know where they are or move, they can't give you consent. Why couldn't you just keep your knees together? Why didn't you just sink your bottom down into the basin so he couldn't penetrate you? That's not going to work. Pain and sex sometimes go together. Judge Robin Camp, 2016. You don't deserve to be on a fucking bench or in a judicial system at all. She has admitted that she used to do all dirty things. It appears that she was inherently abnormal and had sexual instinct from her childhood. Judge 2017. There's a judge name I've never heard before. Now, if that doesn't give you a good reason why we don't, how about the fact of this? If I get raped, they're going to ask me, what did I do? What was I wearing? Was I drinking anything? What drugs did I do? What did I say to him to provoke it? And then you'll hear things like, couldn't you keep your legs closed? What kind of underwear were you wearing? Was it a thong? Because if it was a thong, that's too sexy. You're not supposed to be wearing a thong. Like, girl clothing is not a reason for rape. We're moving on to our next item of the day. As everyone's paying attention, yes, COVID-19 really is real, guys, and we're up to past 120,000. You can thank the orange commander in queef who had the worst rally in Oklahoma. And I cannot thank guys. I am so proud of you. So proud of you, you Zoomers. I love the next generation coming up because, oh, man, they're not taking this shit anymore, and I'm so glad. Black Lives Matter. I don't want to hear all lives matter, because if all lives matter, then black lives matter. Just admit you can't say the word black. So can you tell me why Trump's using the same lawyer as Epstein's lawyer, like is the same person? You know what he says? Statutory rape is an outdated concept because a lot of teenagers will volunteer to have sex. So because of that, if somebody has sex with a teenager, it should be okay. No. Someone under the age of 16 cannot consent. Without parent permission. That's not even, no, that's not even comparable. Yeah, it's called child marriage. My mom was a child bride. No, it just happens. So, let's begin with our white history. For all you racist, mouth-breathing pieces of shit out there who love your orange dictator, tater as in potato, he's a fucking potato, in queef, this one's for you. We'll begin. I've been posting something every day a couple times as I go through history. You want to write this month? We're going to fucking give it to you. March 5th, 1959. 69 African-American boys, ages 13 to 17, were padlocked into their dormitory for the night at the Negro Boys Industrial School in Wrightsville. Around 4 a.m., a fire mysteriously ignited, forcing the boys to fight and claw their way out of the burning building. It's an event in history possibly forgotten or unknown by many. On purpose, because, you know, white power. But it's that moment that claimed the life of 21 boys. It was a carefully calculated murder that involved 21 boys, but was designed to kill 69. They were housed inside of the dormitory. Now, Frank Lawrence has made it his life's mission to uncover the truth surrounding what he calls Arkansas' secret Holocaust. When the smoke cleared that March morning in 1959, the boys who burned to death were found piled on top of one another in the corner of the dormitory. The 48 who had survived managed to escape by prying off mesh metal screens from two windows. The horrific event briefly made headlines, but also brought attention to the squalor and deplorable conditions in which the boys lived. The conditions were to a point where when 69 boys all go to bed at night, in a space barely big enough for them to move around, they are 1 foot apart from one another. You had to get up at night and go to the bathroom. They had to defecate in buckets. The boys went around in rags. They had one 30-gallon water tank for them to take baths. The boys in the school were committed for being orphaned, homeless, or for committing offenses described as mischief and alleged petty crimes. In an ironic twist, the land in which the school stood is now an Arkansas Department of Correction facility, Wrightsville unit, where you won't find a plaque to indicate the boys ever lived there. Sounds about right. But wait, there's more. There's more. In May 1985, the Philadelphia police dropped a bomb on a West Philly neighborhood, specifically on the house of a black liberation group called MOVE, killing 11 members, including 5 children, destroying 61 homes, and leaving 250 people homeless. On the day of the bombing, the police were sent to the MOVE house to execute arrest warrants for several members. When those inside the house refused to respond, the authorities decided to take extreme measures. They somehow justified the use of military-grade weapons, despite their knowledge of children on the premises. 500 police officers shot 10,000 rounds of ammo with automatic weapons at the house. The police commissioner then ordered to bomb the house with a helicopter, dropping a satchel bomb, a demolition device typically used in combat, onto the roof. After detonations, officials let the fire spread throughout the neighborhood. No one was ever prosecuted. I fucking repeat, not a goddamn person was prosecuted. Sounds about white. There's your white history, the white history that you love and you're so proud of. In 1866, 1 year after the 13th Amendment was ratified, the amendment that ended slavery, Alabama, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Georgia, Mississippi, Florida, Tennessee, and South Carolina began to lease out convicts for labor peonage. This made the business of arresting blacks very lucrative, which is why hundreds of black men were hired by these states as police officers. Their primary responsibility was to search out and arrest blacks who were in violation of black codes. Once arrested, these men, women, and children would be leased to plantations where they would harvest cotton, tobacco, sugarcane, or they would be leased to work at coal mines or railroad companies. The owners of these businesses would pay the state for every prisoner who worked for them, prison labor. It is believed that after the passing of the 13th Amendment, more than 800,000 blacks were part of the system of peonage or re-enslavement through the prison system, because that's a part of the 13th Amendment. No slavery should be allowed unless it's through being in trouble. Peonage didn't end until World War II began around 1940. This is how it happened. The 13th Amendment declared that neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction, ratified in 1865. Did you catch that? It says neither slavery nor involuntary servitude could occur except as punishment for a crime. Lawmakers use this phrase to make petty offenses crimes. When blacks were found guilty of committing these crimes, they were imprisoned and then leased out to the same businesses that lost slaves after the passing of the 13th Amendment, because it took away slave labor. As a way to appease them, the federal government turned a blind eye when southern states used this clause in the 13th Amendment to establish laws called black codes. Here are some examples of black codes. In Louisiana, it was illegal for a black man to preach to black congregations without special permission. How about that? Can you imagine that? They're lucky y'all ain't out for revenge. Y'all just want equal treatment and to stop being killed by police. There is no amount of reparation or anything that anyone could ever tell a black person for the bullshit this has fucking done to their fucking, their grandparents. There's still people still alive right now who have lived through that shit. We're talking about Holocaust people that have lived and that are still alive and lived through that shit and carry a number. Being a black person up to this point is not any different. Without permission in writing for the president of the police, if caught, he could be arrested and fined. If he could not pay the fines, which were unbelievably high, he would be forced to work for an individual or go to jail or prison, which he would work until his debt was paid off. If a black person did not have a job, he or she could be arrested and imprisoned on the charge of vagrancy or loitering. The next black code will make you cringe. In South Carolina, if the parent of a black child was considered vagrant, the judicial system allowed the police or any other government agencies to apprentice the child to an employer. Males could be held until the age of 21. The females could be held until they were 18. Their owner had the legal right to inflict punishment on the child for disobedience and to recapture them if they ran away. This peonage is an example of the systemic racism. Racism is established and perpetuated by government systems. Slavery was made legal by the U.S. government. Segregation, black codes, Jim Crow, the peonage were all made legal by the government and upheld by the judicial system. These acts of racism were built into the system, which is where the term systemic racism is derived. This is the part of black history we were never told, but if you're fucking really wondering whose real history it is, it's the people who did this, who still cause this. This is your history, this is your present, and this is your future if we continue to let you. As far as I'm concerned, they can burn everything to the fucking ground. Fuck your Target. Fuck your McDonald's. Y'all are lucky that they only want equal rights. As far as I'm concerned, if every black person rose up and we had to make a choice to turn on our whoever, I'm going to go with the black folks. Jam, I let her have that to make her happy.
Okay. Checking.
I'm in the middle of a show.
Okay.
So, yeah. And yes, black people did sell other black people to people for money and goods and stuff. It did happen. Tribes have been doing it forever. And the first owner of a slave was a black man. Because there were blacks before Africans came here. True story. Tobacco farmer, I believe. Cotton or tobacco. Anyway, let's go to what I shared where I was showing you stuff. We'll go read that because I feel like that's a good one. There's going to be probably some graphic language, you guys. If you've been listening to the show, we don't sugarcoat shit here. So never forget when you could have a license for hunting African Americans. Another lesson in white history. And remember, kids, being African American means being African with no memory and American with no privileges. In 1922, Missouri gave out licenses to hunt black people, like a hunting license for animals. Sounds about white. And some more in white history. In Louisiana, black women were put in cells with male prisoners and some became pregnant. In 1848, legislators passed a new law declaring that all children born in the penitentiary of African American parents serving life sentences for whatever reason they could trump up. That sounds insane. They would raise the kids until the age of 10, and at that point, the penitentiary would place an ad in the newspaper. 30 days later, the children would be auctioned off on the courthouse steps, cash on delivery. The proceeds were used to fund schools for white children. Many of the black children were purchased by prison officials for slave labor and, well, sex slaves and, you know, all of that. And if you want to check my source, this is from The American Prison, A Reporter's Undercover Journey into the Business of Punishment by Shane Bierer. Now, I want to play something because I feel, for me, I had to hear it again and I had to hear it again and I had to hear it again. I needed to continue listening to it because I've never heard anyone come out and actually be white and come out with some facts and say something that's like completely just the right thing to say, I guess. Right thing to say. He made all the right statements. So we're going to play that. I feel it's important and I really want to share because I just learned of this person existing and I think it's fucking awesome.
Yet multiple people have been killed by these motherfuckers and Stephon and
that's
no
shut up. Can get.
Killing black people began with Joseph Mann, a human being in need of emergency medical attention. He was instead met with the terror stacked to speak in the form of, fuck this guy, I'm gonna hit him, Officer Tennis. Last year, Stephon Clark, a human being regardless of accused activities, toxicology reports, or relationship status, was a human being with a Fourth Amendment right, who instead was criminalized due to his race and murdered in a state-sanctioned execution. You can't even look at me, I'm so right. Last evening, I watched an overfunded and hyper-militarized force, not police, occupational force, agitate protesters, instill fear and panic, and then kettle them in the classic kettle and corral tactic, which, by the way, was started in the open-air prison known as Palestine by Israeli police. How much we need to learn that? The underlying factor of all these cases is that law enforcement dehumanizes people on our dollars and with your agreement. When was the last time you were dehumanized? Because I think it's about time. You have with us, you have shown less ability to care. You are all terrible officials, in my opinion, worse people. To quote Dr. King, a riot is the language of the unheard, and you ain't fucking listening. The last person who spoke before the singer said Anne-Marie Schubert has no soul. To quote Stokely Carmichael, in order for peaceful protest to work, your overseer has to have a conscience. You don't have one. You radicalized 84 people on a bridge last night for no reason. They showed up peacefully and were still arrested. Someone up here with all your education, explain to me why they should be peaceful next time. What is the onus? What is the impetus? You fucking... You don't get it. You don't listen. You think it's going to stay like this.
No,
and I
want
to start right here with that. I don't speak for anyone else or any group out here. This city's going to burn in the next 30 to 60 days if you don't shut up and listen.
Fuck yeah. Why it's important? It's part of your amendment rights. It's part of your right as an American to protest for the right for life, liberty, and justice, freedom, to be able to just be a human. I'm sorry you say, well, if you weren't doing anything bad, well, what about Breonna Taylor who was shot in her house? What about that kid that was playing violins for animals in the shelters? And he was walking home with sweet tea for him and his cousin. He was wearing a mask over his face and playing music in his ears, and they fucking killed him because supposedly he looked like somebody. The police want to fucking say, oh, well, we're going to leave the force. So you don't want to be held accountable, but I'm supposed to be held accountable. If I'm a bartender, which I have been, I've had to de-escalate situations and not lose my cool, and somehow everyone maintained being alive. I have to sit as a retail person and have people spit in my face because they're pissed off or blah, blah, whatever, and I have to sit and be cool. I'm mixed. I'm either not white enough, not Spanish enough, not this, not that, whatever. But you know what else? I got to deal with the racism of dumb motherfuckers who don't want to wear a fucking mask, so I had to leave my job. COVID-19 is real. Wearing a mask is just a necessary thing. And people in Japan have been doing it forever. When they get sick, they wear a mask if they have to go outside. They don't bitch about it. Y'all are a bunch of fucking snowflake babies. Entitled pieces of trash. I am proud to be an American today because my family, actually fought Nazis. And they beat the Confederates. So, my heritage, we're on the right side of history. Thank God. Now, I can't say what my ancestors on the Spanish side did, because as I'm giving you white history, we're going to give you Spanish history too. So don't stop listening, because we're going to continue. Now, there's a lady today, she followed somebody, called him the N-word and all that stuff. He started recording her. She's all like, oh, you're going to ruin my life. Yes, bitch, we fucking are. Behold your Aunt Jemima, the fucking picture that y'all just love so much and all of a sudden have a problem with them changing the image of. She is chained to a table in the picture. Sounds about white.
I knew she was a slave, but it can't be chained to a table too, man, goddamn.
Yeah. Another lesson in white history. So much to be proud of. But hey, sounds about white. In 1977, with a clear message to deliver to the United Nations Convention on Indigenous Rights, American Indian women, she argued, were targets of the modern form of genocide sterilization. Over the six-year period that had followed the passage of the Family Planning Services and Population Research Act of 1970, physicians sterilized perhaps 25% of Native American women of childbearing age. And there's evidence suggesting that the numbers were actually even higher. Some of these procedures were performed under the pressures or duress or without the woman's or even understanding. The law subsidized sterilizations for patients who received their health care through the Indian Health Service or for Medicaid patients. And Black and Latino women were also targets of coercive sterilization in these years. But while Sanchez and the Native women with whom she organized responded to the results of that 1970 law, they also recognized that the fight against involuntary sterilization was one of the many intertwined injustices rooted, as was their resistance, in a much longer history of U.S. colonialism, and that history continues to this day. When the federal government forced Native peoples onto reservations in the 19th century, the situation produced a cascade of public health disasters. By 1900, the American Indian population had reached a quarter. Infants and children proved particularly vulnerable to illness and death. One government official estimated in 1916 that approximately 3/5 of Indian infants died before the age of 5. On many reservations, women responded by bearing more children despite their compromised health. The historian Frederick Hoxie has argued that only the maintenance of extraordinarily high birth rates saved one nation from dropping into oblivion. Sounds about right. But good kudos on you guys for trying so hard to maintain your gene pool. Proud of you. I have more. Don't worry. There's lots more white history headed your way. So another lesson in white history, and this goes along with statues. This is why I'm all for statues coming down of people who have actually done really horrible things. J. Marion Sims was a gynecologist in the 1800s who purchased black women slaves and used them as guinea pigs for his untested surgical experiments. He repeatedly performed genital surgery on black women without anesthesia because, according to him, black women don't feel pain. Despite his inhumane tests on black women, Sims was named the father of modern gynecology. What the fuck? And his statue currently stands right outside of the New York Academy of Medicine. We need to fight the supremacy. I'm sorry, but the white race was never supreme and will never be, and that's why you needed to make a systemic racial system that puts black people to slave labor for you because, you know, weak backs and all that. So, let's see if I have any more white history before we move on. Oh, and I was really, really, really trying to make people, like, understand what when they say defund the police. It really means stop giving them billions of dollars in military shit and maybe put that money towards education, universal health care, youth services, housing, and other community reinvestments. Like maybe, you know, making it possible for people to get help from counselors or we don't have real homeless shelters. We also don't have places for them to go and actually go to a real rehab. You need money for that now. Everything is about money and for rich people who are high on drugs and can't get off them. But I don't know. I'm just a regular old American who notices all the shit that's coming and going right now. And I'm here to tell you, your orange leader and queef is not going to make it any easier for you racists. It actually he's actually done a lot. You know, I have to say, he's done one good thing. He's woken this shit up. And now, the next generations are rising, and they're not taking this shit. All you old races are on your way out. And that's the only choice that we have. We already talked about the game Hit the N-Word Baby. And, is this thing on? I just want to remind you guys, more than 120,000 Americans have died. Tens of millions are unemployed. Families are witnessing their loved ones' last moments by FaceTime. And Trump's response is slow down testing to hide infection rates. Sounds about orange. Sounds about Russia. Trump's deadly competence, though, is no joke. And I know that we went from being a Christian nation to a triple K Christ stain nation, America, with 3 K's, not C-A. But it isn't going to help you either, because eventually you fucking idiots are going to get it. And guess what, guys? The most people that are dying are Republicans. True story. So, right now, we also need to remember, even I just learned this myself, the Democratic and Republican parties, both is to protect the interests of the ruling class, and whether governance is run by Democrats or Republicans makes very little difference in the lives of poor or working class people. Now, before we go anywhere else, to help you with your need for white history and why we're considering what you want, racism. When you say, how come black pride is okay, Mexican pride, Asian pride, Muslim pride, but white pride is racist? We're going to break it down for y'all. Black, African culture and heritage. Mexican culture and heritage. Asian culture and heritage. Give me that. Give me that book. Mm-mm. Nope, that's mommy's book. Give it to me. Hold on. Thank you. What was I saying? Leave mom's book alone. So, Asian culture and heritage, Muslim religious culture and heritage, because that's not really a race, it's a religion and a way of life. White, proud of skin tone. Let's break it down for you guys some more so you understand. You can have Italian pride, Irish pride, German pride, Russian pride, Scottish pride, Australian pride, Spanish pride, Aginos pride. In fact, we even have parades celebrating Irish, Italian, Aginos pride. Nobody says any of that is racist because it celebrates culture and heritage. Saying white pride is just being proud of your skin and heritage. It's just being proud that you're not brown or black. So, but if you look back into your white history, you don't really got much to be proud of now, do ya? Now, unless you came directly from a country that, you know, isn't based on white supremacy like America, then you do have something to be proud of. Because, you know, German culture. There's lots of white culture, you guys. But if you're just being proud of your skin color, you're just a dumb old American. Let's make fun of Trump really fast. A Door account placed the Trump rally officially placed crowd at 6,116. Of those, 2,837 were paid gig actors and 986. Stop with the tarot cards. You keep doing this. 986 for Trump campaign 2020. 532 were White House Trump propaganda machine employees. 183 were plainclothes security, meaning 1,578 were actual total attendees. I should get a crickets button. I'm gonna put one on for these moments. I'm gonna record crickets and then put it on, because that would have been perfect. But you know what, guys? You know what that means? There's a lot less racist than there are good people in that, and that's a good thing. And if you're mad about protests, if you think that the civil rights movement was just Rosa Parks sitting quietly and MLK peacefully protesting, and that's proof of how the American education system is rooted in white supremacy. Black history was turned into a business burden, white consumption, which is why we need a fucking Black History Month. And that's the tea. And remember, guys, rape is not okay. A woman cannot give you consent if she's drunk. And, rape is not okay. Don't be a douchebag. And Trump sucks. Let's see, Black Lives Matter, and fuck all you racist pieces of shit. Oh, Venus goes into retrograde. Let's do that really quick, because we're ending our show. I'll end our show on something good instead of ruining it every time. I'm sorry, it's Neptune. Tonight, a weird time begins until November 28th. 2020 retrograde Neptune intends to give us the bigger picture, even if this means shatter our previous precious illusions we desperately can't let go of. Neptune will push us beyond our comfort zone, dissolving habits and thoughts we thought would never change. Connect with your higher self. Your spirit is your anchor. And that's the tea. Well, I hope everyone found this show informative. I will not stop giving you white history, though. And, you know, I'm sorry that your American white history isn't so good. And that's on y'all. You guys could have changed your ways now instead of being the same way that you were. But remember, these people have been told, even though you look like a 55-gallon drum on two legs, you're superior. We get it. You've got extra flap on the side over your bra, and you're going out at Walmart. But guess what? You're the tippy top. Don't think so. Your white face will never be fucking white again. So anyway, ruining the ending again with some negative shit about the white race. I can't help it. Y'all bring it on yourself. I love you guys, and good night.